Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Dixon. MSD's environment will not be easy. By Stuart Doreen, S-D-O-R-E-E-N, at hurstmp.com. Midland ISD Interim Superintendent Ann Dixon said the next superintendent of schools in Midland ISD will oversee one of the hardest environments I've ever walked into. That is what she said during one of the forums last week for community members and teachers who wanted to voice their opinions about characteristics and qualifications they would like to see in the next superintendent. Dixon provided those in attendance with details about the process. If someone takes the time to fill out an application, it will be presented to the board. This will not be a search in which a firm provides 6 to 8 applicants for the board's show or interview. The Midland ISD board has hired Walsh Gallegos to help with the search. It is the third different firm the district has used for the last 3 superintendent searches. Dixon made it clear that current district employees will be treated the same as other applicants, and there will be no magic number of people the board will talk with and interview. The process is closed to the public, she said. That is standard with districts across the state, as the board ultimately will decide on a finalist for the position. Once a lone finalist is announced, there is a 21-day period before that person can be voted on, giving the community time to look at the candidate. Dixon said the decision is typically 50% qualification and 50% match. She also said that those considered will go through intense vetting, including credit checks, criminal searches, educational verification, a search of a candidate's social media background, and the calling of non-reference places they worked and other superintendents they may have worked with. You can't hide from Mr. Google, Dixon said. Those attending meetings included parents, followers of education in Midland, teachers, MISD staff, and other current or former educators. Here's a profile based on characteristics and qualifications mentioned during forums where the Reporter-Telegram was present. There needs to be a better communicator in the superintendent's office. Those in attendance wanted to see walls removed and an openness with the community. This person will engage with parents, teachers, MISD staff, and the community. An academic profile starts with someone with a successful track record of turning around districts academically. Midland's academic performance issues are well documented, with 19 campuses rated D or F, according to the most recent Texas Education Agency ratings. Don't bring us a D-level superintendent, is how Dixon summed up one person's comment. The improvement in academics was not limited to lower performing campuses or sections of students. One parent said the next superintendent should want to raise the level of academics with higher performing students. I represent a group of parents whose students are GT, gifted and talented, and the academic and talented. And the academic rigor is not there beyond sixth grade when students leave Carver Center, especially at junior highs. The parent said those students are being defined as they will be fine and not challenged until possibly in high school when they can enroll in advanced placement classes. Comments about leadership style include someone who is a visionary, embraces new ideas, is trustworthy, and financially responsible. Also, not expected at those meetings like these were calls for a transparent leader. The district is working harder toward that, but we are not where we need to be. One person did make a request for professionalism and humility. Teachers, whose concerns have been front and center in the community for the past few weeks, were part of the search process. There were calls for a superintendent who will show a willingness to get his or her administrative team involved on campus. One person stated someone should be able to walk into the administrative building, central office, and it be empty at least 3 days a week. They need to be teaching in the classroom with the teachers. They need to be helping teachers teach. You are the experts. Show your expertise. Finally, there was a call for an administrator who knows our culture, someone that understands West Texas. As one person stated, Midland is different than a big city. It still has small-town values. Local colleges aren't having December graduation ceremonies. By Caitlin Randall, crandle@mrt.com. Despite universities statewide, including Texas Tech and Texas A&M, announcing their plans for in-person December graduations, local schools will not be holding fall commencement ceremonies. The University of Texas Permian Basin will have one graduation in May, at which time there will be one ceremony for fall and spring graduates, according to a university spokeswoman. She said they're hopeful they will be able to have an in-person commencement ceremony by that time. A press release from UTPB in October states that they opted to postpone the ceremony for fall 2020 graduates because of the continuing coronavirus concerns. Due to the decision for students to not return to campus after Thanksgiving, a drive-through commencement ceremony in December will not be possible. A virtual celebration will be planned at a later date, and students will receive a special party pack in the mail to honor their achievements and participate in the virtual celebration. The university had previously announced that students would not be required to return to campus after the Thanksgiving break and that spring break had been removed from the academic calendar. UTPB held a drive-through ceremony in August for spring 2020 graduates. One vehicle was allowed per graduate, and graduates had the option to leave their vehicles and take a socially distant photo with the school's mascot during the ceremony. The ceremony was also live-streamed. Midland College does not hold fall graduation ceremonies. Students who graduate in the fall semester are able to participate in the spring commencement ceremony in May. The college canceled its May 2020 graduation ceremony because of the guidelines that recommended no more than 50 people at a single event. The release states that students who were impacted would have the opportunity to celebrate and walk the stage in the future. Midland College has not announced plans for a makeup ceremony, and the spring 2020 commencement speaker and other speakers delivered their speeches in videos posted on the school's website. A Midland College spokesman did not respond to a request for commencement on when the college next planned to hold a commencement ceremony. Obituaries and death notices. Charles Buddy Niffen was reunited with his beloved parents in heaven on November 7th. Buddy was born November 14, 1944 in Abilene, and shortly thereafter moved to Midland, where he graduated from Midland High School in 1963. The family is planning a private memorial service at the family ranch. In lieu of flowers, please feel free to donate to your local SPCA or the Alzheimer's Association or the Diabetes Association of America. If you would like to send a message or story of Buddy to the family, please feel free to email them at cbknifefen14@gmail.com. Deborah Boomer Autry, 66 of Midland, went to be with her Savior on November 9th. Memorial services will be held at 10 a.m. Tuesday, November 17th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel in Odessa. To send condolences to the family, please sign their guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Jarvis M. Salmon, 89 of Midland, most recently of Dallas, passed away on November 9th after a short battle with COVID-19. The family will have a private burial due to COVID-19 restrictions to keep family and friends safe. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the Recording Library of West Texas in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Linda Jane Elaine Johnson Wiggum, 60, entered her heavenly home on November 3rd. The family will receive friends from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, November 19th at the branch at Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home in Midland. A celebration of Linda's life will be held at 3 p.m. Friday, November 20th at First Baptist Church Sanctuary in Midland. The service will be live-streamed from First Baptist Church. Michael Todd Sutherland, 54 of Midland, passed away Friday, November 13th. A memorial service will be held at a later date. Family asks that donations be made to PRMC Hospice in Andrews, the American Cancer Society in Atlanta, Georgia, or the Cancer Organization. Kevin Wade Coburn, 57 of Midland, passed away on Friday, November 13th. A graveside service will be held at 1 p.m. Tuesday, November 17th at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Leanna Collins, 79 of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, November 10th. No services will be held. Arrangements were made under with Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Mary Lister, 84 of Midland, passed away on Friday, November 13th in Midland. A wake service will be held at 6 p.m. Wednesday, November 18th at the Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home Chapel in Midland. A funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. Thursday, November 19th at Faith Temple Church of God in Christ. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Online condolences may be made at www.mpwelsh.com.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, November 8th. Section A. Masks are everyone's responsibility. Odessa Minister urges precautions. By Federico Martinez. First came the sinus-like headaches and scratchy throats, followed by fevers. Then came the positive test results for COVID-19. For the past 2 weeks, Joe and Don Weeks, co-pastors of Connection Christian Church, and their teenage son Sam have been fighting the virus and slowly recovering. Their experience has been a test in faith and patience. The first 3 days were filled with fear, admitted Reverend Don Weeks, who became the most ill. Fortunately, we only experienced mild to moderate symptoms. We lost our sense of taste and smell. None of us experienced breathing problems, but we did have fevers. The family didn't require hospitalization, but did have to self-isolate for 10 days so as not to risk spreading the virus. The family are just three of the more than 8,206 positives reported so far in Ector County. Texas surpassed 1 million cases just this last week. The Weeks family has been on the front lines of asking the community to mask up and practice social distancing. They even started outdoor church services to keep churchgoers safe. Despite their best efforts to wear face masks, use sanitizer, and practice social distancing, Weeks said her family wasn't surprised when they got sick. Honestly, we knew it was a possibility always because it's so widespread in the community, she said. It was a reminder that even when you take precautions, there's still a risk of getting COVID-19. Taking precautions does decrease the risks for everyone, she said. The problem is there's still a lot of people who aren't wearing masks, Weeks said. If we're going to overcome this, everyone needs to take responsibility and wear a mask. It's not just about our own well-being, it's about caring about everyone's well-being. This pandemic has the ability to teach us all about our spiritual maturity as a community. Local health officials continue to urge residents to practice safety measures to try to stem the tide of COVID rates, which are currently at an all-time high in Ector County. Medical Care Health System announced Friday that due to the rise in COVID-19 cases, beginning immediately, healthcare staff will no longer deliver flowers and food to patients throughout the healthcare system. MCH will provide free drive-through COVID-19 testing and flu shots from 8 a.m. to noon Saturday in the Veterans Administration parking lot north of the MCH Center for Health and Wellness, 8050 East Highway 191 at Faudry Road in Odessa. No appointment is necessary. The shots are given on a first-come, first-served basis, an MCH news release details. Residents must show proof of residency and provide contact information to receive testing or shots. Children as young as 3 years old are eligible for testing. Children must be at least 6 months old to receive a flu shot. The City of Odessa Friday announced that city athletic complexes will be closed as soon as each athletic association finishes their seasons. The city parks are not closed, but the athletic complexes will be closed to play and practice until further notice. Governor Greg Abbott Friday announced that the Texas Department of State Health Services will allocate an initial shipment of bamlanivimab, the Eli Lilly and Company monoclonal antibody, to acute care hospitals beginning next week. Bamlanivimab is for outpatient use in people who have tested positive for COVID-19 and are at increased risk of severe disease. It has been shown to prevent hospitalization in some patients when used before they become very sick. On Friday, the Texas Tribune reported that since the beginning of October, COVID-19 hospitalizations and the 7-day average of new cases have more than doubled. Funeral homes and hospitals in parts of Texas are bracing for a new wave as the state surged over 1 million confirmed cases. Experts blame social events like birthday parties and game day gatherings, and they say widespread fatigue has hastened viral transmission as fewer people are following guidelines like wearing masks and staying home. The Tribune also reported that average new cases in Texas, along with hospitalizations and deaths, have increased on average. Weekly reports by the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Children's Hospital Association show there have been more than 900,000 COVID-19 cases in children and teens in the U.S., and they have been steadily rising. Almost 74,000 cases were recorded during the week ending November 5th, an all-time high. Severe illness among children and teens is rare, particularly in younger ones, but they can often spread the disease without showing any symptoms. Obituaries for Sunday, November 15th. Deborah Boomer Autry. Deborah Boomer Autry, 66, of Midland, passed away November 9th. Memorial services will be held at 10 a.m. Tuesday, November 17th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel in Odessa, with Reverend Tommy Caldwell officiating. Debbie was born August 3rd, 1954, to Eva May and Earl Boomer in Snyder. She married Kelly Autry in Abilene in 1978. Debbie is survived by her husband, Kelly, son, Trenton Autry, and wife, Melissa of Odessa, daughter, Kimbra Autry of Odessa, daughter, Whitney Autry Carruth, and husband, Steve of Seattle, Washington, two granddaughters, her sister, Joan Boomer Jones, and husband, David of Abilene, sister-in-law, Claire Boomer of Oklahoma City, sister-in-law Lynette Autry Soden and husband Steve of Omaha, Nebraska, sister-in-law Luann Autry Gallegos and husband Greg of Arvada, Colorado, and her mother-in-law Joyce Autry of Rocky Ford, Colorado. She is preceded in death by her parents, a brother Dennis Keith Boomer, and father-in-law James Autry. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Cornelia Frances Connie Gully Dominey. Connie was born in Ballinger to Robert and Zula Gully 84 years ago. She married Robert Dominey, and they were married for 40 years until his passing in 1991. She is survived by six children: Robert Dominey and wife Tressa, Tommy Dominey and wife Rhonda, and Michael Mike Dominey and wife Chris, eight grandchildren, 19 great-grandchildren, and one great-great-grandchild. She was preceded in death by her husband, Robert Alvin Dominey, her parents, Robert and Zula Gully, daughters, Jorina Dominey, Valerie Dominey, and Billie Jean Dominey. Viewing will be held from 5 to 9 p.m. Sunday, November 15th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Graveside services will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, November 16th at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Edovijes Vicky Urias. Edovijes Vicky Tavares Urias passed away November 9th at the age of 81 in Copeland. She was preceded in death by her husband, Eulalio Lalo Urias, in 2017, a son, Noe, her parents, Blas Sr. and Stefana Tavares, two sisters and two brothers. She is survived by 5 children, 10 grandchildren, 9 great-great-grandchildren, 9 great-grandchildren, 2 great-great-grandchildren, and 5 sisters. Jose Nunez. Jose Z. Nunez, 83, of Odessa, passed away November 10th. He was born in Eagle Pass, September 3rd, 1937, to the late Catalina and Bernabe Nunez. He married Eva Navarrete in 1958, and they were married for 43 years until she passed away in 2001. Jose is survived by his children, Dorothy and husband Rene Rodriguez, Barney and wife Irene Nunez, and Dimitri Nunez. He is also survived by 8 grandchildren, 19 great-grandchildren, and 1 great-great-grandchild. Visitation will be held Tuesday, November 17th from 5 to 9 p.m. at Odessa Funeral Home, with rosary being recited at 7 p.m. Mass of Christian burial will be Wednesday, November 18th at 10 a.m. at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow in Ector County Cemetery. Betty Laverne Johnson Tyndall. Betty Laverne Tyndall, 78, of Odessa, passed away November 8th. She was born June 22nd, 1942, to Delbert and Dolly Johnson in Littlefield. She married Carl Tyndall in 1960, and they were married for 49 years. Betty is survived by her sons, Gordon, and wife, Catherine, Thomas, and James Tyndall, all of Odessa, 3 grandchildren, 8 great-nieces, her sister, Tommy Duggar, and brother-in-law, Larry, numerous nephews, nieces, cousins, and great-nephews and nieces. She is preceded in death by her husband, Carl Tyndall, her parents, Delbert and Dolly Johnson, and a daughter-in-law, Sherry Tyndall. Funeral services will be held at 2 p.m. Tuesday, November 17th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel, with Tommy Parker officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Louise Hallmark Walker. Louise Walker passed away November 11th. She was born in Lorraine to Hugh and Susie Hallmark, December 6th, 1923. She married T.C. Johnny Walker in 1946 in Sweetwater. Louise is preceded in death by her husband, T.C. Johnny Walker, 2 brothers, John Milton Hallmark and Edwin Paul Hallmark. She is survived by her son, Randy Walker, and wife, Kathy of Montgomery, daughter, Becky Stanford, and husband, Bill of Odessa, 2 granddaughters, and 2 great-grandchildren. A private graveside service will be held at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Val D. Wilcox. Val Wilcox, 93, of Odessa, passed away Wednesday, November 11th. He was born in Hopkins County near Sulphur Springs. Val was preceded in death by his mother, Lessie Bowles, brother, R. Ray Wilcox, daughter, Valerie Wilcox, his father, Ben Wilcox, brother, Trudeau Wilcox, his wife of 47 years, Doris May Bryan Wilcox, He is survived by his children, Debbie Davis and husband Bruce, Connor Wilcox and wife Terry, Rochelle Grassi and husband Brian, and son Don Wilcox and wife Holly, as well as 8 grandchildren, 7 great-grandchildren. Visitation will be from 6 to 8 p.m. November 17th at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home in Odessa. Extended graveside service with military honors will be at Sunset Memorial Gardens at 10 a.m. November 18th. In lieu of flowers, please make a donation to the Odessa Lions Club or a charity of your choice. Death notices. Wanda Nadine Young Inzer. Wanda Nadine Young Inzer, 83, died Tuesday, November 10th in Crane. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Otimio Longoria. Otimio Longoria, 82, of Odessa, died Friday, October 30th. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. Thursday, November 19th at St. Mary's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home. Angel P. Marquez. Angel P. Marquez, 62, of Odessa, died Tuesday, November 3rd. A graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Tuesday, November 17th at Ector County Cemetery in the Rose Hill section. Father Tony Franco is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Deborah K. Mercer. Deborah K. Mercer, 63, of Odessa, died Monday, November 9th in San Angelo. A graveside service is scheduled for 12 noon, Tuesday, November 17th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Jonas Suarez. Jonas Suarez, 50, died Saturday, October 31st in Odessa. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Maria D. Torres. Maria D. Torres, 86, died Monday, November 9th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, November 16th, 2020. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, OPEC Must Play the COVID Waiting Game, by Julian Lee, Bloomberg. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its allies meet at the end of the month to decide the future of their record output cuts that help put a floor under oil prices. Hopes had been high that they could ease their restraint. But headwinds to the recovery in oil demand and rising production from countries outside their control mean they'll have to wait. Under the deal reached over several days of fractious meetings in April, the 23 OPEC Plus countries agreed to reduce production by an initial 9.7 million barrels a day before tapering those cuts in two steps. The first easing of the cuts, originally scheduled for July, was pushed back to August. Now the second one, due at the start of January, will almost certainly be deferred. Compliance with the deal has been remarkably good, due in no small measure to the determination of Saudi Energy Minister Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman to hold everyone's feet to the fire. He's publicly called out those who have fallen short, demanding they make up for any lapses. Some countries, like Iraq, have struggled to deliver the compensatory cuts, but they've probably made more of an effort thanks to the Saudi spotlight. The one non-OPEC country that has escaped reprimand is Russia, even though it has, on average, pumped nearly 100,000 barrels a day more than its target since May. The transgression may be small in percentage terms. The country's initial output cut was just over 2.5 million barrels a day, but its overproduction is the second largest in volume terms among the whole group. You could be forgiven for thinking Russia's getting special treatment as such an important new ally. OPEC's members have been better at meeting their obligations, and it is their overcompliance, led by Saudi Arabia, that has helped the wider group to beat its target in each of the past 3 months. The pandemic's persistence means the producers can't relax just yet. Oil demand hasn't recovered as fully or as rapidly as they'd hoped. The coronavirus's second wave has led to renewed travel restrictions in Europe and may trigger similar moves in the U.S. Even in Asia, where the recovery is seen as stronger, traffic levels remain significantly below year-ago levels in many cities, according to figures from TomTom Traffic Index. Even though oil demand in both China and India has topped year-ago levels, the picture for crude suppliers remains shaky. In its latest monthly report published on Thursday, the International Energy Agency noted that while refiners in Asia are expected to be operating next year at close to 2019 levels, processing in the Atlantic Basin, mostly Europe and the Americas, will remain at its lowest level for two decades. And it's refiners, not motorists, who are the oil producers' customers. Russia and Nigeria, most exposed among the OPEC Plus members to the Atlantic market, have a lot to worry about. It's little surprise, then, that the OPEC Plus group is getting concerned. More than a third of the surge in crude prices that followed last week's vaccine announcement had been given up by Friday. Even if all the vaccines being tested are as effective as the Pfizer, Inc. and BioNTech SE shot, and let's hope they are, it will still be many months before enough people have been inoculated to alter the pandemic's path significantly. Until then, the types of restrictions that have slashed oil demand this year remain key tools to slow the virus's spread. That's a problem for producers. Their second big headache, as I mentioned last week, is rising supply. Libya, not shackled by the OPEC Plus agreement, is restoring production much more quickly than many anticipated after a devastating civil war. Production on Monday reached 1.145 million barrels, up from the just 90,000 barrels a day it was pumping in September. Now that rival factions in the North African country reached a preliminary agreement with a goal of holding elections within 18 months, there are hopes this peace deal and the oil production that goes with it will last. Suffice it to say that OPEC Plus oil ministers can't afford to relax their output restraint in January. They're unlikely to try to agree to deepen the cuts. That would open too many arguments at a time when they need to show unity and clarity of purpose. Their only realistic option is to delay the tapering of cuts, with the only real question they have to answer, for how long? COVID continues to provide a major impetus for this often quarrelsome group to show an unusually united front. This article is entitled "No Rainfall Coming to Relieve Extreme Drought Conditions" by Stuart Doreen. Sometimes it feels like it's not going to rain again in Midland. Of course it will. The National Weather Service just isn't terribly enthusiastic that there will be a lot of precipitation for the rest of the year and not much anytime soon. After a wetter than normal start to the year, 5.27 inches through March, the fortunes of a region changed, thanks in part to a La Niña weather pattern. What came about was 7 straight months of a less than average rainfall. In fact, most of the rainfall in any month from April through mid-November was 0.83 of an inch in September. All totaled, 1.6 inches of rain has fallen since April 1st. The National Weather Service reports 11.21 inches of rain is normal from April to the 1st of November. The result in our region is in extreme to exceptional drought, worst possible according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. The Climate Prediction Center's monthly and seasonal outlooks call for drought conditions to persist. The National Weather Service's Midland office told the Reporter-Telegram that the next chance of rain isn't for a while, maybe Sunday night into Monday morning. Even Midland officials in the NWS office are expecting a warmer and drier condition to be the norm through the rest of the year and into 2021. A quote, pattern shift, unquote, is needed to avoid more months like the last 7+. As it stands right now, the National Weather Service is reporting 6.87 inches of rainfall this year. That means average rainfall the rest of the year will not keep 2020 from being among the driest years on record in Midland. Average yearly precipitation in Midland is 14.6 inches. The total this year, 6.87 inches. Normal through November 15th, 13.68 inches. Total since April 1st, 1.6 inches. Normal April 1st to November 15th, 11.21 inches. This is the local page. This article is entitled New Starbucks to Open Today by J.C. Lewis. A new Starbucks will open today at 4101 North Big Spring Street. For those worried about increased traffic, the City of Midland will post a Do Not Form Line on Road warning sign in the right turn lane, according to Chuck Harrington, the Development Services Director. Drive-through stores, including Starbucks and similar establishments, are required to be located in regional retail zoning areas, obviously due to the intensity of the land use, he said in an email. These types of uses would be far too intense in terms of traffic volumes to locate in less intense zoning districts. On many occasions, this type of development is denied access off the major roadway. Prime examples of this are Rose's on Rankin Highway, Chick-fil-A on Andrews Highway, and the Raising Cane's restaurant on Loop 250. All have significant drive-through traffic, but they are forced to use side streets for access or access easements for their stacking space. Harrington said how these types of developments are reviewed has changed over the last few years. The goal is not having any more locations such as the Starbucks on Midkiff Road next to HEB. That is an old installation that would not be allowed were it to be put forth to planning and zoning at this point, he said.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, November 16th. Keeping Kids Fed, AISD Offering Free Meals. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Through the Seamless Summer option, Andrews ISD Child Nutrition Director Pam Yoakum has been able to offer free meals to every student at least until May 2021. The district has about 4,042 students and is serving breakfast and lunch in the dining rooms of each school. On average, Yoakum said, they have increased the number of meals served by about 50 to 150 more students per campus this year. Yoakum found out the Seamless Summer option was available through Region 18 Education Service Center. Quote, we just thought it would be a benefit for our town to do it and help them out during this pandemic, Yoakum said. I just thought it would be a great program, not only to benefit our families, but to also benefit our district, end quote. The Seamless Summer option started November 2nd, and everyone in the town, 18 and under, could eat for free, whether they attend AISD schools or not. Quote, it is really a nice program. The ones that we serve that are not enrolled in school, we have one school that they can go to, and that's Underwood Elementary, so children that are not enrolled, the siblings or whatever, they can go to that school in the mornings between 8:15 and 8:45 and pick up a meal, Yoakum said. It's a breakfast and a lunch combined that we give to the parents. The children are in the car as well, and they come through and pick it up. It's a cold meal. It's not the hot meal that we serve in the cafeterias. The Nutrition Department uses Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines and also consults with the Andrews County Health Department to make sure they are doing everything correctly, she said. Quote, I have six schools, but I have five kitchens. The sixth school that I have is our alternative school, she said. That is the only place that does not have a kitchen, so we cook for the district at each campus, end quote. Andrews is grade level, So there are three elementary schools, one that is pre-kindergarten through first, another that has second and third graders, and the other one with fourth and fifth graders. Yoakum has about 50 employees in her department. She tries to find the best food she can by purchasing premium chicken nuggets, for example. She said she hasn't had to furlough anybody. Quote, "We have a great district that really takes care of us well. We've not had to do that," she added. Most people are now eating on campus, even though high school students can leave for lunch. About 50% of students in Andrews qualify for free and reduced meals. Quote, "I was a little bit shocked of how we went up on the amounts, especially high school. I had thought those high school kids will still take off and go, but we're up about 50 at our high schools that are actually there eating. That's really good for us because we have an open campus. They can leave for lunch, so that's a positive. We're feeding about 300 at our high school right now, which is up from about 225 to 250, Yoakum said. Whether the seamless summer option continues into the next school year depends on the U.S. Department of Agriculture and Texas Department of Agriculture, quote, because this is a program that is just for summer feeding, she said. Yoakum has been with the Andrews School District for 35 years, 10 of those as child nutrition director. She got interested in the field because her mother was the manager of a restaurant in Yoakum's native Terlingua. Quote, "I just love food," she said. "I love feeding people. It's just my passion. So that's kind of why I started, and it's landed me here, which that's what I enjoy doing," end quote. Superintendent Bobby Azam gives Yoakum and her staff a lot of credit for turning on a dime to feed students during the pandemic. Quote, "You go to spring break and everything has been normal, and now the next thing you know, everything kind of crumbles and you have to mobilize and get things set for kids to eat. Everyone can say the same thing about their people, but I can only speak for ours. She and her staff did a fantastic job of getting quickly, and I mean like quickly, just overnight, like a few days getting things set where we were passing out meals at elementary schools with no issue whatsoever. They did great, and our kids were taken care of," Azam said. COVID-19 is still with us. This is a guest column by Carol Cates, the chief nursing officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center. "I haven't written about COVID for a while, but with everything going on in our community right now, I just feel like I needed to talk about it again. COVID is such a weird disease. You have people who have no symptoms at all, and they can be of all ages, though most of the people who have no symptoms are under 30. You have people with no risk factors who die, and you have people with every risk factor there is have minimal symptoms, and there just doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason why some people get so incredibly sick and die, and some people don't. There is so much we don't know about COVID. We know a huge amount more than we did 6 months ago, but we really haven't even scratched the surface on this disease. What I can tell you for sure is that COVID is not the flu. I have had two friends locally and an uncle who lives in another state die from COVID now. I've never had a friend of a family member die from the flu before. Every hospital in this community is seeing more patients and more deaths than any flu season we have seen in our lifetime. COVID is real, and COVID is killing people. Today, according to the Ector County Health Department website, there are 1,677 active cases of COVID in this community as I write this. One thing I want you to think about is that those are known cases, people who have been tested and come back positive. I know several people now who have had someone they live with get sick, get tested for COVID, come back positive, then they get sick and they don't bother to get tested. They already feel like they know it's COVID, they have had a known exposure, and they have the symptoms. Those people will not show up in the numbers, asymptomatic people who never get tested won't show up in the numbers either. Another thing to think about with that number is active case numbers are delayed. The person who is sick decides they need to get tested. They get to a testing center, which with the demand now can take a couple of days even to get tested. They get the test results, which can take up to several more days, and then the health department is notified. So that 1,677 is a low estimate of the people who came down with symptoms several days ago. Today, there are likely many more people who have COVID than the health department has on record for those reasons. 125 Ector County residents have died of COVID as of today. 125 of our neighbors, friends, and loved ones no longer walk this earth because of COVID. Both hospitals in Odessa are at near capacity because of COVID. Most of those patients will go home, but for many, their lives will never return to normal because of COVID. Some of those people will never get to go home. I don't have the words to express how tragic these things are. I hope you feel the same. We can slow the spread of COVID. I know it's not easy, and it can be a pain, but it's possible. It's those same things that the Centers for Disease Control have been saying for months now. We just need to do them. Wear a mask over your mouth and nose. Wearing a mask as a chin strap is not wearing a mask. Wearing a mask just over your mouth doesn't count either. Stay at least 6 feet away from people if you possibly can, particularly if one of you does not have on a mask. Even with a mask, it's a good idea to social distance whenever possible. Wash your hands frequently with hand sanitizer or soap and water. Stay home when you are sick. One of the things I notice is people get a runny nose or a scratchy throat and they think allergies. They don't think COVID because they are not coughing, they are not short of breath, and they don't have a fever. I can tell you, after talking to many people who have tested positive for COVID, is that is how it often starts. They just don't feel that sick. I have heard the words, "I thought it was allergies," more times than I can count now. That means people go to work because they don't want to get behind or inconvenience others. They go to school because it's hard for kids to miss a day. They go out shopping because they need groceries. They go to weddings, birthday parties, and baby showers. The problem is that is also when people are the most contagious for COVID, when they first get symptoms. Going out and about when people are sick is how COVID is spread. Please, 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 if you feel sick, even a little sick, stay home. Then get tested so you know if you need to continue to stay home or if it really is allergies or something else. There is free testing available now in the community. If you go to the City of Odessa COVID-19 testing website, there is a list of places you can get free testing, the hours available, and if an appointment is needed. Please be safe and follow the steps needed to help slow this disease in our community.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing reading the inside pages of the Odessa American, Monday, November 16th. Holding On to Hope by Karen Edmondson, MS, LPC, NCC. The world is in a constant state of change, as well as ourselves. With the recent pandemic, our sense of security and stability have been tested. The increase in number of new COVID-19 cases in our communities can be discouraging. This is a present problem we face. Hope is future-oriented. It comes from having a desire or expectancy for someone you want in the future. Viktor Frankl, a Holocaust survivor, concluded that the prisoners who lost hope did not survive the harsh conditions of the concentration camp. Hope is what pushes us through our deepest despair, knowing that good things are still possible. Every day brings new possibilities. What you need and hope for can be just around the corner. Viktor Frankl believed that even if your situation does not change, you can always choose your attitude toward it. We tend to view our own suffering as unfair and look for blame. Accepting that suffering is a normal part of life can help. We learn what is important in life through our suffering. It also teaches us to appreciate life's simple pleasures that present themselves each day. A kind word, a warm blanket, a cup of coffee, feeling the sunshine on your face, or laughing with a friend. There are many positive changes that can be seen when you look for them. Families are more focused on each other rather than climbing the corporate ladder. When in the storm, all you see is the storm. Make plans on how you want to change your life after the storm passes. When you rebuild your life, you can make it stronger and better than it was before the storm. If we can be of assistance, feel free to contact Samaritan Counseling Center at 432-563-4144. Obituary from the Odessa American, Monday, November 16th. Val D. Wilcox. Val Wilcox, age 93, of Odessa, passed on Wednesday, November 11th. Val was born in Hopkins County, near Sulphur Springs, Texas. Val was a veteran serving his country from 1942 to 1946 in the Philippines. Val was preceded in death by his mother, Leslie Bowles, brother, R. Ray Wilcox, daughter, Valerie Wilcox, father, Ben Wilcox, brother, Trudeau Wilcox, wife of 47 years, Doris May Brim Wilcox, until her death in 1996. Val is survived by children Debbie Davis and her husband Bruce Davis, Conrad Wilcox and his wife Terry Wilcox, Rochelle Grassy and her husband Brian Grassy, and son Don Wilcox and his wife Holly Wilcox. He also leaves 8 grandchildren. Visitation will be from 6 to 8 p.m. on November 17th at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home on 601 North Allegheny, Odessa, Texas, 79761. Extended graveside service with military honors will be at Sunset Memorial Gardens, November 18th at 10 a.m. In lieu of flowers, please make a donation to the Odessa Lions Club or to a charity of your choice. Girlfriend left on sideline at small family wedding. Dear Abby, for Monday, November 16th. Dear Abby, my boyfriend of 5 years calls me his partner. I care about his family and they are happy we are together. His daughter had a small wedding with just a few family members and the wedding party. I sat alone in our room for hours while they took pre-wedding photos. Not a problem. But when no voices were heard, I looked out and everyone was gone. I texted my partner asking where everyone was. I heard him walk by our room several times earlier, but he didn't respond. Should I have chased after him, asking to be included? Before and after the ceremony, the photographer took individual and group photos, as well as the tables, the caterer, and venue staff, in addition to the family and wedding party. Although I was standing with everyone, no one invited me to join a group photo or take one with my partner. My brother said I should have asked to be included, but I didn't think it was my place. The bride and groom had already decided who they wanted photos of. One of the groomsmen could tell my feelings were hurt. He came over and sat with me and asked if I was having fun. I did some grunt work for the ceremony, so it would have been nice to have had my presence acknowledged with an official photo, not a selfie. What do you think? Left out lady in Virginia. Dear lady, the bride and her husband may have been distracted, but your partner should have made sure you were included in at least one of the photos. The treatment you received was not only rude and thoughtless, it was also callous. Have there been other occasions in which he has been similarly thoughtless? If you plan to continue this romance, accept that you will have to become more assertive rather than wait at the mercy of others. Dear Abby, about 3 years ago, I got into an argument with my sister-in-law because of the verbal abuse she aimed at her children, who were 3 and 10. She swore at them and still puts them down constantly. I finally had enough and told her I didn't want to be around her if she was going to talk to them that way. She told me they were her kids so she could talk to them how she wanted. I haven't spoken to her since. Now, 3 years later, I have 2 boys of my own. She wants to be in their lives, and my in-laws are upset that my husband and I don't want her around them. She has since apologized for her behavior, but neither of us trusts her, and we don't want her influence on our children. Should we accept her apology and spend time with her to appease my husband's family, or do what we think is right for our kids? Avoiding her in New York. Dear avoiding her, your sister-in-law has apologized. Give her one more chance, and if you catch her berating her children or using foul language in front of your boys, take a giant step backward and do not expose them to her again, or at least until they are old enough to understand that behavior like hers isn't tolerated in your branch of the family, and why.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Scorpio and a moon in Sagittarius. Happy birthday for Monday, November 16, 2020. Authoritative, wise, and empathic, you work on a project this year that stresses solitude and is very successful. Very individualistic, you learn to accept help. In 2021, you discover what, or who, you love. If single, finding the right mate is crucial, but a lot of ups and downs happen first. If attached, you're so much happier, and even your career goes further. Aries supports you in every way. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. A dear one appreciates your kind gestures and responds affectionately. Family members want to exchange ideas. A publication, store display, or television program can offer marvelous ideas for making your lifestyle better and brighter. Tonight, feeling unusually warm and fuzzy. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 3 stars. Acquiring extra money, seeking a promotion, and purchasing a long-desired item are priorities. It's better to be a bit subtle. Seek ways to make your work environment more wholesome and nurturing. Tonight, pondering your mutual monies with another or others. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 4 stars. Partnerships of all kinds are in a growth phase. Today generates mental clarity and problem-solving ability. New commitments are likely. Others make decisions and offer opportunities that impact you. Legal matters can be settled to your satisfaction. Tonight, date night. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 3 stars. Today highlights your physical and emotional health. Get several opinions about health-related decisions. Visualization and written affirmations can be helpful also. A beloved animal companion offers solace. An influential book appears that offers helpful new perspectives. Tonight, don't be tempted by addictive love. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. The attention you put into an intimate relationship results in an important choice regarding love. A child can need extra attention. The efforts you make now can favorably impact a young person's whole future. Make time. Tonight, your own private dance party. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 2 stars. Today immediately brings residence and family issues to the fore. Remodeling or moving is possible. The structure of family life is in flux. Gracefully accept the fact that family ties change as time passes. Tonight, plan a vacation, perhaps including a romantic rendezvous. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 4 stars. One of the most interesting and unpredictable times you will ever know regarding love is about to commence. Friends and lovers change roles. You connect with gifted and eccentric new people. If an existing relationship survives, it'll be approached in a new way. Tonight, relax. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. Today favors a risky gamble or expansion. Do not be drawn into a financial scheme by a pal, as it would be disappointing in the long run. Affirmations could be helpful if said out loud. Tonight, a favorable outcome following some highs and lows. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. It's a day of great motivation and promise. Express your creative talents and pursue your wildest dreams. A sense of purpose guides you toward worthwhile goals. Your sparkling personality opens new doors. Enjoy. Tonight, feeling great victory. Make sure you celebrate. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. A new guru or teacher offers intriguing new perspectives. Your sixth sense is heightened. Keep a journal handy to jot down impressions and make drawings. It's a wonderful time to explore fairy magic. People under air signs are particularly significant today. Tonight, early bedtime. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. Cultural events, travel, and important discussions highlight today. Changes that began last June are coming into focus. People enter and leave your life suddenly. At the same time, today accents inner growth and new personal interests. Tonight, observe the ironic ways you surprise yourself. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Today brings some important turning points. You will be highly visible at work. Much is demanded of you, but the potential rewards are really great. Your premonitions and dreams are the source of significant wisdom. Tonight, new career horizons beckon. Born today, actor Burgess Meredith, 1907. Writer Chinua Achebe, 1930. Actress Maggie Gyllenhaal, 1977.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.